Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence. Well, it's the beginning of December and the holidays are fast coming upon us. There are lots of things that are happening in our lives, and one of them is shopping for those of us who are in the Christmas mode. For others of you who are not, this is a wonderful time to relax and get into a winter mode, which is, for me, a very thoughtful time, a time for retreat and for rejuvenation. And I've been starting this a bit early, actually, myself, because I went on a little trip last week to visit some of my family, and I came back with a cold, so I spent the last 2 days in bed, and have been using Reiki a lot for my healing and hopefully curing process. Well, I'm really on the road to mending, but if you notice a little bit more, excuse me, nasal twang in my voice and a cough here and there, you'll know that it's because this is the curing hasn't quite happened yet. I have today with me a second degree student, and she's now living in Germany. I met her this summer, and I was very taken with her ability to express herself and also her just enthusiasm about Reiki. And she's not had Reiki very long, so that, for me, was also very wonderful. Her name is Astrid Bagvitz, and I hope that I pronounced your name right, Astrid.
You did.
Oh, good. Phew, I forgot to check this before we got on. So, Astrid, please, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a great honor to be here.
Great. And if you could just speak directly into the receiver, that would be really wonderful.
Okay.
All right, great. Astrid, as usual, I would love for you to share with us, you know, your background and how you got interested in Reiki and, you know, your Reiki story, basically.
My Reiki story. Well, actually, it's a very long story, but I'll try to cut it a bit shorter. But it starts the day that my mom passed away. And I was very fortunate to be there, and the doctor said, well, everything was in God's hands, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And I was holding his feet, and I didn't know what to do. And what happened was I started praying.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly I had this sensation of, you know, waves rushing through my body, and was a huge light that was burning on my forehead. And something inside of me said, like, yeah, somebody must have put on a light. And I opened my eyes, and it was dark. And I thought, this is queer, and I continued praying. And then a second light came, and then everything was over. And a week later, I returned to Germany, and I went back to my job. And I was thinking, there must be other people who had similar experiences, like this wave of, I don't know what, going through my body, and this feeling of light and all these things. And I actually Googled it. And what happened was the word Reiki came, you know, popped up all the time. And I was like, okay, what's this? I hadn't heard the word before. And some of the reports were kind of like, you know, unbelievable, but I had experienced something unbelievable. So I was like, okay, you'll have to take the chance and just, you know, find out what this is. And on searching for a Reiki master, actually, I went through a huge process there as well, because there were loads of people saying, like, you could be a master in 2 days and stuff like that. But for some reason, I was drawn to my Master Krishna's website. She was on the net as well. And I decided somehow that was the correct person to go to. And I remember standing in front of her door. We had like an email exchange first, and she said, well, you know, just come here and enjoy, you know, one of the sessions, basically, and you'll see what it's all about.
Right.
And something said, well, you know, if it's just, you know, like, just a bit of what people were saying and what I had had experience, I would want to learn this. And I was there. I took my first Reiki session, and it was a blast. It was just so amazing. And it was all that I had experienced in that special moment that I had had with my mom. And it was like reconnecting, and just, I don't know, I just knew I was at the right place, sort of. Yes, and that's how it all started.
Wow, that is a beautiful story.
It was an amazing story, and I think that's why my enthusiasm is so big, because I know this is, it is so right. You know, I've always trusted Reiki, and there has never been a doubt, you know. And what happened then was, you know, I asked Krishna, well, you know, I really want to learn this, so when's your next class scheduled, you know? And she said, well, going to be 2 months, and I think, you know, you'll need some treatment before that, because I was, you know, like, I was in a state of, you know, like, grief, and I didn't like the job I was doing, and you know, like, everything seemed like...
Right,
you
know, right.
Not right, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I followed her advice, and I took regular Reiki treatment, like, I think once a week, and it was very good for me. Like, I was like a sponge, you know, soaking up all these things, and I was actually working with her, like, because I was so convinced that this was just something magical or something greater than I, sort of happening there. And then actually I had an experience of healing that was also before my Reiki 1 class. I had been badminton playing, and I fell, and I hit my ankle really bad. And I couldn't really walk with it afterwards, and it was a huge, huge pain. And the next morning I woke up, and I just felt like I couldn't even stand on my foot anymore. And I had an appointment with Krishna for another Reiki treatment. And I called her up saying, well, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to make it today, and because I need to go to a doctor, you know, like, get everything fixed.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, you know, come anyway. Laid down the phone, and then it suddenly was this sort of lightning flashing through me, and I jumped up, and I actually cleaned up my whole apartment. There was no pain there anymore, and I was just like, wow. You know, it was just sweating off my feet. So I went to the doctor, they x-rayed everything, they put a cast on it, and then I went to my Reiki treatment, and I just, you know, from then on, I was just like taken completely. With everything that I had. Yes.
Well, I can imagine why you were.
Excuse me?
I said, I can imagine why you were. I mean, that's incredible.
It was very incredible. And to me, these experiences before my Reiki 1 initiation were so important, because, like, I came from a place of believing to knowing, you know?
Uh-huh.
And because I just knew, like, you know, why were these things happening? And my mind is so, you know, was so trained on being rational and being, you know, like, I'm an economist by profession, so I was all about money, you know, these things. And that actually didn't fit, you know, somehow. It does very much now, I know, but still, you know.
Right.
It's very, very important.
Right. Beautiful.
Yes. And then I got initiated, and that was, I think, one of the most beautiful experiences in my life. So, yes, and from then on, the story sort of continued somehow. With a huge sort of talking about healing and curing. And I think I experience everything on myself, so I can really, you know, like when I speak about it, and I speak a lot about Reiki, I have the feeling I can do it with true confidence, because, like, I've experienced it, you know?
Right, right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, let's see. Have we made a timeline on this? So, your mother died 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
That's 2 years ago, yes.
2 years ago. So all this has been very recent.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, I had this really interesting discussion with a group of masters, actually, in Russia last year about this quality of healing and curing. And somehow they felt disappointed that Reiki, for them, didn't show up in the same way that you're actually describing right now, that they hadn't had what they considered to be miraculous kinds of healings and so on. And I said, well, you know, what's interesting for me is that it's really easy to see it when it happens in kind of a wondrous way, like it has with you, and I think that's really beautiful, and goes to show that it still can happen, and it's not, you know, it just happens because that's, I don't know, it's like the accumulation of all these different factors joined together and creating this miracle kind of thing. And then there's this other part where I feel that a lot of the things that have happened to me that have seemed to be a kind of what I would call a slow, sometimes very painful process can also be a miracle, because there are things that I've turned around in my life that have taken some time that I don't think I would have been able to do without Reiki. And this is part of the, you know, the issue out there sometimes is that people go back to relate to Mikao Usui's first motivation to find Reiki, so to speak, and that is that he wanted to find out how Jesus healed. And in our impressions of the Bible, Jesus healed in very much the same way that you've just described, very instantaneous and very miraculous kinds of experiences. So I'm wondering, has that question ever come to you, or have you mused upon that at all?
Well, yes, but since I had these experiences beforehand, I sort of came into this place of trust. Like, after my first initiation, my whole life went into turmoil. Like, everything seemed to be breaking away, and, like, there were friends breaking away, there was this job that wasn't doing any good to me that was breaking away, and there were all sorts of other things, you know, happening inside, and something inside of me said, well, just trust it, you know, and it took a long time, it was something like faith, you know, that everything would work for the better, and you know, my mom was something like I would say she was my first teacher, and she always told me, you know, you never get more in life than you can bear. You know, things will happen. And I had those words ringing in my ear whenever things seemed to be going, like, completely wrong.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out to go completely right in the end, because I suddenly realized, like, oh, yes, you know, I didn't want that job. I wanted to do something else with my life. And it was giving me all this air to breathe and all these, this time to think, you know.
Right, right.
And so in the end, it's just a matter of reframing, I guess, you know, in the end, because when you're so concentrated on what's actually happening, like you feel some pain or you don't know where to go and your mind's busting around and you're like, oh, my God, and what should I do? And just, you know, like getting back to center and sort of like being like, okay, take a deep breath and everything will go, you know, just trust Reiki. That's helped me a lot.
Yeah, wonderful. So, so what happened with your job? Did you change it, or did it just become better for you, or?
Well, I had a change of job, but to be honest, like right now I'm at a point where I don't really know what exactly I want to do, and this has also to do with the Reiki principles, because like I figured, you know, it has to do something with like earning a living honestly.
Uh-huh.
And that's something that I'm still sort of struggling with, in the sense of like where can you, you know, earn it honestly by really doing what your heart says. And I really want to. So I don't know, maybe an opportunity will be there with that. But other than that, I'm still sort of like waiting for the right, how do you say, moment to grasp the next assignment, basically. I figured I never want to do anything in my life anymore that was not connected to joy and living and, you know, doing things with enthusiasm. And
right.
That has happened since Reiki, because that to me is being honest to yourself, you know, like doing things with all your heart and with everything that you have, you know.
And right.
Yeah, still waiting for the perfect opportunity.
Great. So isn't that kind of scary, though, just kind of swimming around in the unknown?
It is. It is very scary, and I know that if I would have been in the same situation, let's say, like 2 or 3 years ago, I would have panicked completely, you know? And now I have this sort of calmness about it. I know something's going to happen. I'm actually thinking of making myself, self-employing myself. I'm still thinking of an idea of how to do it, and I'm finding people who are interested in healing and coaching and all these things, and we're actually right now in the process of trying to find a good concept that would work in this world, because, yeah, it has to be something that has hands and feet, as we say in Germany. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So there's a lot going on, actually.
Right. And one of the things that I've learned in my life, although it's a scary thing to do, is to make space and allow Reiki to fill the space with something. And but you have to really make the space. That's, I think, part of the healing process. Because I don't know, in my life it seems that I'm very well known for multitasking and for scheduling myself so much that, you know, I don't have time for anything really interesting or spontaneous to happen. And when it does, it totally throws my whole life off. So since last year, I've gotten much better at that. But I still find myself trying to do it, which is horrible. But it at least it is a healing process, in the sense that now I'm conscious of it and I can correct it. So that's been really good. So I just wonder, do you find giving yourself, you know, kind of creating space, a really freeing kind of feeling, or, and along with that, it's exciting and scary?
Yes, completely, all of it. because sometimes you cling on to things that aren't actually really good for you.
Yeah.
And creating that space, you know, creating space to me also means letting go of fears, and that's a very hard thing to do, because, you know, more life sort of works, and to trust in something that is that you can't see is like very, you know, it's not very rational, you know. But yes, I find, you know, like the more space I give a thing to evolve and to place Reiki into it. Actually, you know, like during my healing process, I had the feeling that a lot of things were breaking away, and I was trying to consciously fill it with Reiki.
Uh-huh.
And it helped so much. It was amazing. Like, a lot of my friends said they were, you know, like, actually also in this process of grief that I was in, they were saying, like, we don't understand why you're so happy. And I realized that due to the treatments I was having and due to my willingness to surrender to whatever was coming and to surrender to Reiki as well, all these things were sort of like flowing out and were replaced by this other energy that was holding me. And I think I'm very positive, let's put it that way, that it can happen on in all spheres of life if you just, even if it's a very hard process.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't know, there's so many stories I've been able to witness, you know, like also people, you know, going through real despair. And the good thing is also, I actually had this talk with another Reiki practitioner, and, you know, about, you know, like this trust. You know, and I said, you know, like at some point, I stopped questioning, basically, because whenever I was at a point where I thought, like, oh, this is not, you know, like, can this all be real? Is this just made up in my mind? Am I going crazy? Am I, you know, like all these things? And then suddenly, bam, I'd get like hot hands, and I'm like, okay, got it, you know? It's like, you know, it's just there. So, yeah, I don't know. I believe, it's a matter of how far you can surrender somehow, and that's very important to me somehow.
Well, surrendering is a really beautiful gift to yourself. I guess that's how I would say it. And you know, a lot of times people have wondered about Reiki and its way of asking you to surrender. And whenever I talk to people, I say, well, you know, this is not me asking you to give up your job or to change, you know, your house or to shift something that's really important in your life. It's Reiki. It's you, actually. And Reiki is the go-between so that you have something out there, because we're really, as human beings, we really project everything out. And how we learn about ourselves often is from the reflection of how that projection comes back to us. And, you know, that doesn't just mean things that we don't want to see. It also means things that, you know, for other people might be actually very positive, but we're not willing to accept it. So I find that to be really interesting in Reiki, that the more you surrender, the more somehow you're given. Would you say that was true for you?
Completely. I would sign that, yes. So.
And I find that to be...
Although I know that there's...
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go on. That's fine.
I just wanted to say... although I know there's a lot of surrendering to do, I think, in this whole learning process, I think it's like, it feels like it's never going to stop somehow, you know?
Because?
Well, I feel there's so many things to learn about yourself, about life, about everything. I think this never stops your whole life, and somehow to my philosophy actually of life, I feel that this whole process actually ends when we're at our own sort of like physical end, you know, in the sense of like we give up. And then, like the experience I had with my mom, I just feel like when your learning process has stopped and is completely you sort of become light in a way.
Right.
I don't know how else to express it. Yeah.
Well, that seems pretty accurate to me. I'd like to know if you have considered these concepts of healing and curing in your journey with Reiki, and maybe I'm wondering if you've been able to talk to other people about these two concepts and how they see Reiki being involved in either healing or curing or both.
Well, I have talked to lots of people, especially about trying to find the difference between healing and curing, because it was not so clear to me. And in our discussions, we actually came to the point that there are things where there's no cure, in the sense of like an illness will still be there, but some form of healing has nevertheless taken place.
Uh-huh.
To put it in more sort of like physical terms, like if you break a leg and it sort of, you know, grows, doesn't go, you know, straight back together again, and then it might be crooked or something, you know, then the healing has taken place, but, you know, like the whole thing has not come back to normal, you know, like to the original state, which would be the perfect healing. And somehow curing seems to be part of healing, but healing is something that, you know, takes place everywhere, you know, like body, mind, soul, everything. So sometimes, especially with Reiki, like you treat someone because they have a bad feeling in their arm or they can't move it anymore, and for some reason that arm doesn't get better. So you wonder, like, has something gone wrong, or, you know. But when you talk to these people later on, they say, well, you know, something else has happened. Like, I've been thinking about this and this, and other things that stage, you know, the people were in at that point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Something else was getting better. So it seemed like Reiki was intelligent enough to see through the pain, basically, and go to the spot that was actually that actually needed it.
Uh-huh.
And that to me was very fascinating.
Uh-huh.
And I do have people that I treat that actually say, well, you know, my pain has actually gone worse, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, what did I do? But then they say, well, you know, like, on the other hand, I've had somehow a message come to me, or I've had something else, and I realize I have to work on that first.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So, something that you said earlier just now caught my attention, and that is this concept of curing holds within it, it seems, to me anyway, and my background, that it means that things go back to being as they were, or things go back to being perfect, in the sense of, and this is kind of a crude description, but in sense of, you know, having two arms, two legs, sight, hearing, you know, whatever. And I remember myself starting to tell my own Reiki story in the beginning, and I still do say this also now, that in the very time when I was trying to make my decision about whether to travel with my grandmother, my roommate said to me, well, if you don't like it, you can always come home. Meaning, you know, you can always just drop it and come back to where you were before. And what was so fascinating for me was a kind of twofold thing. Number one, a year later, after I had been initiated as a master and gone on to teach a few classes and was doing a few kind of hidden Reiki treatments, because I didn't really want to talk about it much with my friends, I realized that I could never go back to where I started from, because somehow Reiki had taken me into another doorway. Like, there was no going back. And so that was one thing. And then the other thing was, interestingly enough, that even though I was very comfortable in the space where I was when I was asked to go on this trip with my grandmother, and that word home meant so much to me about comfort and being at peace with myself and so on, well, I thought I was at peace with myself and so on. But I realized after a year of, you know, practicing Reiki, even though it was kind of in secret, I realized that I had found a different kind of home, that the home was more inside of me, and that there was no way to go back to the old home. And at the same time, I was given this other home that was kind of scary because it was unknown, but it was also exciting because it was in my future, so to speak. So I find this always to be very interesting, that in our society, when we think about curing or we think about going back, that there is a kind of judgment or understanding that if we go back to the way our body was, and I will use our physical body, our body was, you know, before the accident, say, that's really perfection. But what I find that Reiki is teaching us is that perfection comes whether our body is perfect or not.
Very true, I think.
And I find this to be really interesting. I have a friend of mine who 9 years ago fell and broke her shoulder, which is a very difficult thing to do, but she really ruined it. And she was a violinist, and, you know, it was very sad. But this doctor, the first thing he said to her when he looked at her shoulder was, well, you'll never play the violin again, which I thought was a really crude and unusually rude thing to say, you know, just like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, she spent a lot of time, you know, worrying about that, and also just the pain of giving up this activity that she enjoyed so much. And at the same time, there was a wonderful movement in her to just say, well, this is what happened, and now my life has to be perfect just the way it is, even though my body will never be the same. And I don't know, that goes back to your surrender part, I find.
Yeah, very much so. Actually, you know, it's like outside of Reiki, but I have friends who've been very, very ill, and actually, doctors were saying, like, there's no hope, and you'll have, like, so-and-so many months and all sorts of crap, to my mind, you know. They're still alive and kicking.
Right.
And they all told me, you know, like, there was this one point where they actually realized, you know, like, this is the situation I'm in, and it's just the way it is. And I can either go into sorrow and
right.
make my life miserable, or I can look at the bright side of it and start living, you know. And talking to these people really gives me a lot of, because I realize that whatever happens to you in life, it's always a matter of perspective. And it's always a matter of choice. And it's always, you know, you can choose to be happy, although very, very, very ill. Or you can choose to be sad about it, which is fine as well. But, you know, you have this choice. And I think that is very important as well. Because some things you just can't change. There is no cure. There is no way out. But I figured that the people that were, you know, rejoicing life and sort of like looking at it in a positive way, you know, like in the sense of, okay, maybe there's something, or maybe there's something I can change in my life, change my diet, change whatever, that actually the prognosis they had been confronted with was completely void, you know, at that point.
Uh-huh.
Somehow miracles happened, you know. And I thought that was a great teaching as well.
Right. Me too.
It had a lot to do with it. Yeah.
Right. So what is your experience of surrender? Because that seems to be coming up a lot.
Well, my experience of surrender has a lot to do with all the turmoil that happened after my initiations, after both of them, and I actually realized the surrender point to me is with starting to listen to yourself and not to what you think others might want you to say or what you think you should be doing, or, you know, like taking the brain out of it. And that is very, very, very difficult now.
I like that, taking the brain out of it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
I don't know. And, you know, especially, you know, like, with people that are sort of very intellectual, like, I know, like, I mean, like, having studied, having gone through books and having got, you know, like, one tends to be, you know, on the brain all the time, you know, like, picking out strategies on what to do next or, you know, sort of judging, you know, and when you take that out, it sort of like seems like truth is there, and that is something I love.
Although
sometimes the way to get there is very, 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 very hard.
That's true. It's very true. Well, you know, sometimes people think that surrendering is giving oneself up, you know, like giving a part of yourself up to something else. But it's very interesting that you describe surrender as actually giving into yourself.
Yeah, that's what I feel is true. Because if you give, you know, yourself up, then, I think that's what you said, giving in.
Yeah, well, but that's not what you mean, is giving up yourself to something else. Surrender is more really understanding that, let's see, how can we say this? That it's about giving in to yourself.
Yes. Well, you can't fight yourself, and all you have in this world, basically, is actually yourself. I mean, obviously, you have friends, and you have family, and all these very important things, but in the end, there's you, and there's what you really want to do, and as soon as you corrupt yourself, or you do things that are not true or not in alignment with what your heart says, basically, I find that things happen that actually show you or put you on the way again, you know, that actually give you that sort of that kick to tell you, like, wait, you know, that's the wrong sort of way you're going there. Just, you know, turn back and take that other one, you know.
Right.
You know, it's like a hint from the universe.
Right.
Yeah.
So, when you say that your life became a turmoil, I'm just wondering, do you have any theories of why turmoil happened after you had your initiation? Because, you know, it's so very interesting to me. There are people who have taken first and second degree, and they say, oh, you know, people have said, you know, this is going to be really terrible, or, and nothing happened. And then there are other people whose life just got turned upside down. You were one of the upside down people, I take it.
Exactly. And I enjoyed the ride.
You did. Wow, good for you.
Well, but you know, like my master actually was so funny. Krishna was sitting there in the room with four people that Reiki One initiation, and she just said, like, enjoy the ride. And I didn't know what she meant until it actually happened.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, but, and I know, I mean, like, I had so much support from her because, like, really, it was like everything was working away. And I think that was because I had not treated myself rightly before, you know, like I had always tried to put it in simple words, to be a good girl, you know, like I tried to please people around me, and I wasn't realizing that I was actually pleasing others, but I wasn't pleasing myself. And that was one of my very, very, very first lessons, to actually stand up and say, like, okay, now I'm taking my life into my hands, and I'll have to go. But still, there was so much. I actually felt it as, you know, like a heap full of, you know, a heap load on my back. And but it was not. It was something energy-wise. It was like some sort of blackness, or I don't know how else to describe it. And it had to be cast away. And I had very, very mystical experiences, like hearing voices saying, if we do that, there will be chaos. And then suddenly something cutting loose. And I felt like I couldn't breathe anymore. It was stuff like that. And it really consciously, I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm not breathing. What's happening? And then I really consciously said, like, okay, now breathe, Astrid, and just take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out. And then everything was back again. And then I realized, like, oh, my God, you know, what is this? I don't know. I think what was breaking away was all the things that were not good for me. And actually, I had a new Reiki student over for her first treatment before her initiation. She had never had Reiki before.
Uh-huh.
And she had all sorts of questions. And one question she asked was, like, what can I expect? Like, what will happen? And I told her, well, I don't know what's going to happen. It's different with everybody. So I've seen people start crying. I've seen people start laughing. I've seen people go through all sorts of things, like I couldn't pinpoint it. But one thing I can say about myself is that everything in your life breaks away that is not good for you.
Uh-huh.
You know? And and it was a wonderful initiation we had.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Well,
yeah.
That's
the turmoil basically is the breaking away.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, they say that Reiki is harmless. That's what my grandmother used to say, that Reiki is harmless. And sometimes students come to me and say, well, if it's so harmless, why why is this happening? Well, it may feel like it's life-threatening, but it isn't really. Or maybe it is life-threatening in a kind of way, in that, that a part of the old part of you that needs to be let go gets let go, and then a new part can come in. And I find that to be very interesting. So there's always these paradoxes in our practice, which I find quite interesting, like, you know, Reiki is harmless, and then we have a treatment and the pain gets worse, or, you know, something happens and you go, is this really harmless or what? And I find that to be a part of the healing, and actually both healing and curing, that both have a kind of, you know, in my old language, I would call it a healing crisis. And a lot of people didn't like me to say crises, but I said, well, but it feels like a crisis.
Yeah. It does.
Would you say that was true for you?
Oh, yes, it was.
Uh-huh.
It was a huge crisis. And, yeah. But sort of, you know, the good thing about it was I always had my hands. You know, like really getting really bad, and I was like, you know, how am I ever going to get out of this, and why did I do this in the first place? Like, and then I would feel, you know, this energy pouring out of my hands, you know, and I was like, wow, I know why I'm doing this, you know, and it was like, you know, having a friend at my side, you know, saying like, it's all right, you know, just trust me, and that
wow.
was the good part about it. I think without, you know, without Reiki, I would have never managed to go through all that, and without this confidence in it.
That is amazing. That's beautiful. That's really wonderful.
Yeah. And plus, I think sometimes, you know, you really need, it's like, you know, you really need like a smack in your face to actually realize, you know, like you have to change something. and that hurts. And when it hurts enough, you know, you can suddenly start blooming. You know, that there was like some poem somebody wrote. Another Reiki student actually showed it to us. It was about, you know, like a flower bud that was too scared to open up and got too high, you know, too harsh on her. It would bloom. It would start to bloom, and finally, you know, like be able to breathe.
Right.
Bloom and flower and all that. Yeah.
Right. Wow. Wonderful.
Yeah. And I do think Reiki is hardness, but it has such an amazing power to it. And I think people often underestimate it, basically, because, you know, it seems so easy, you know, like you go to a Reiki class and then suddenly you have healing powers, which is like unbelievable from the truth, basically, you know, when you read about it and never been in touch with it or anything.
Right.
But also during these crises that I had, I actually realized how big that power was, because not only because it was like a friend that I had, but also because I realized this turmoil it would have never happened if the power was, you know, smaller.
Right.
And there was always, at the end of the tunnel, there was always a light, and it turned out to never be a train. It was like always like, it was great. It was like always something wonderful that happened, and that I got as a gift later on.
Uh-huh.
That's a beautiful thought.
That's beautiful. Well, it's amazing, but our time has sped by, and it's time for us to start winding down. I'm wondering. I'm wondering if you. Yeah, I know, it goes really fast. I'm wondering if you have anything that you would like to say in closing about healing and curing and about your path in Reiki.
Well, I'd just like to say that that trust is very, very important. And basically, the trust in yourself and the trust in that what you're doing as a healer or a Reiki practitioner, that it will turn out right, even if it doesn't seem like that in the beginning. And yes, there are many adventures to still come, and I think life is an adventure, and we should just rejoice it and have fun, basically. And that's what I wish everyone.
Wonderful. What a great beginning to December, the month where winter really comes in, and we begin to go inside of ourselves. It's a time for contemplation and review, and also rejuvenation in the sense of gathering ourselves for our spring. So, thank you very much, Astrid. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Felix. That was a great pleasure talking to you.
Great. Wonderful. And thank you, listeners, for being with us. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.